Sorry, thirsty work. I'm not going to keep you much longer. I'm aware that we've been here for a while, but I did want to take the opportunity just to open up Scripture briefly with you. Through Advent, we've been looking at the first chapter of each Gospel. Last week, we looked at Matthew chapter 1, and this week, we are in Mark chapter 1, which is somewhat unusual as an Advent reading, given that it starts with John the Baptist. I'm not going to read the full thing for the benefits of time, but let me just read the middle section. I'm going to read from verse 9 through to the tail end of verse 20. The whole thing, I think, is on the slides, but we'll start at verse 9. Hopefully we'll catch up. But at that time, it says, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Amen. This is not a traditional Christmas story, but this is Advent, not Christmas. In fact, actually, two of the four Gospels don't have any nativity story in them at all. But they do have Advent, because Advent is this time of waiting and preparation. And in verse 3 that we didn't read, we have John the Baptist declaring, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so in a sense, this is an Advent passage. This is a beginning passage. This is a passage of preparation, preparing the way. And perhaps more fittingly for today, it's got a baptism in it. Jesus being baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. And we'll find out a bit more about John the Baptist's early story next week in Luke's Gospel. But I want to start by addressing those of you who were baptized to say, Jesus got baptized, you're following it in good stead, but beware, because the first thing that happens to Jesus after he is baptized is that he is tested. Out in the wilderness, on his own, tested by the enemy, and just beware in the days to come that there is an enemy who will test you. And that's why you're not just baptized, but you're joining in membership, and we are here for you. Another part of this passage that we didn't read is Jesus going off to pray. And there's a call here, and throughout the Mark's Gospel and all the Gospels, reminding us that Jesus regularly took time to pray, to go into a quiet place and to be with his Heavenly Father. And so for all of you who are joining, and all of you who are already members, again, a call to prayer as the basis, as the foundation for all that we do, must come from prayer. Prayer should not be inspired by the things that are about to happen that we're worried about, or the things that did happen that went wrong. Prayer is the foundation for what we do. But this story and this chapter in Mark, this beginning, in some ways sums up a lot of Mark's Gospel. Mark is the shortest Gospel, and there is a sense here of the urgency. Mark almost wants to rush it out He wants to get this message out to people. He does it quickly, and so he's constantly saying, immediately this happened, and immediately that happened, and as soon as this happened, then something else happened. Without delay, in, what's that, verse 20, the sons of Zebedee, without delay, and everything seems to be rushing on. In one short chapter, we have got John the Baptist, the baptism, Jesus, the beginning of baptism and the wilderness, Jesus proclaiming the good news, his calling the first disciples, casting out a spirit, doing some healing, going off to pray, and then healing somebody else. Now that would take about like 4 or 5 chapters of Luke's gospel. But Mark is going for it. Because there is a sense of the urgency and immediacy of this message. And there's also within this passage today this sense of the proclamation of the gospel. It starts with John the Baptist declaring the message of the good news and calling people to repentance. But then as soon as John is put into prison, then Jesus takes up the mantle. He goes into Galilee proclaiming the good news. Verse 15. He's teaching the people in the synagogue, verse 21. He's preaching, but he wants to go into other places and preach in verse 30. So there's an urgency to proclaim the message of the kingdom, the good news. And there's also in this passage this sense of the power and authority of Jesus. That he has power to heal, power to cast out demons. But also in his teaching, they are amazed because he has authority. Verse 27, the people were also amazed, but they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching and with authority. So Christmas is a time when we think about the coming of Jesus, but actually, as important as the nativity story is, the ministry of Jesus and how he lived his life is actually the calling upon us. We don't have control over how we were born or where we were born. And we've heard stories here today of people who were born into Christian families and people who were not. People who were born in this country and people who were not. That's something we don't have control over. But the calling of Christmas and the calling of the gospel is actually a call to be disciples of Jesus and to live as he lived. So, let's stop hanging about. Let's recover some of the urgency of the gospel. And let's recover something of what Jesus says in the very last piece of this chapter. A man with leprosy comes and he falls at Jesus' knees and he says, Jesus, look, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And it says, Jesus was indignant. He reached out and touched the man. I am willing. He said, be clean. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. The folks who stood up here today said, I do a lot. But actually what they were saying was, I am willing. I am willing. Are you willing today to heed the call, just as the first disciples did, to go, to proclaim, or simply just to actually ask God and say, God, who can I pray for today? And to ask other people, what can I pray for you? Lots of people who were sick were brought to Jesus, but actually it wasn't so much that as much as I think Jesus saw sick people and said, I am willing. Can I pray for you is an easy question to ask and also a very hard question to ask, because sometimes people actually say yes. And then what do? Well, you pray for them. And you do so with authority. Not because we have special powers, but because we believe in a God who is extraordinary. And so actually, there is a call on us to pray for others, to bring people before God in prayer, as we sometimes say in church. And there's a challenge to that. And it's a difficult challenge because sometimes we pray and things that we want to happen don't happen. But you know what? Sometimes they do. We've heard testimonies here today of people who are saying, do you know what? I prayed and this thing happened. God answered my prayer. So this week, immediately, as soon as possible, without delay, ask God, who can I pray for today? And if someone is at your house or at your work or at your, in one of your classes, and they have an issue that you find out about, or they're sick or something, you just say, could I pray for you? And if they say no, well, that's fine. And if they say yes, well, then just do it. And then let's see what happens. Because maybe in a few months or a few years' time, they will stand here and they will say, one day, this thing had happened to me. Someone from Sandiford said, can I pray for you? And I don't know what happened, but I said yes. And they prayed, and life was never quite the same again. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, give us boldness. Give us urgency. Give us authority. That we would pray. That we would pray for others. That we would call on you to move in power in other people's lives, that you would be glorified in them, and that we would be able to tell of how amazing our God is. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to have our closing hymn. After that, if you stay standing for the benediction, and at that point the service will be officially over, but at that point I'm going to ask all the folks who have joined today, if they could come forward. I have exciting official certificates of membership, which you know you want to keep forever. I actually still have mine from when I joined the church, Church of Scotland, in 1997. It's in a drawer somewhere. And for those who are baptised, we also have a gift for you. But also I'm going to ask the elders if they want to come and greet you each with the right elbow bump of fellowship. We're not allowed to shake hands because of COVID. But I think probably in 100 years' time, there's going to be someone who's doing some sort of doctoral research into the history of the elbow bump of fellowship. Where did that come from? But for the moment, that's what we'll do. So if you, once we've had the benediction, if you want to come forward, we'll say hello to you officially and give you your things. But let's first of all sing together. This is an older hymn, which I'm not sure is often sung all that often. I really like the words to it. It's called We Have a Gospel to Proclaim. And it tells the story of the gospel, but also calls on us to proclaim it. So this is We Have a Gospel to Proclaim. Father has called you, the Spirit, the Son has freed you, and the Spirit has filled you. So go, beloved children, go and proclaim the kingdom. Go and heal the sick. Go and be willing. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.